If you go on page 7 to our flashback gospel, so flashback to page 7 in your bulletins. And the reason I'm saying flashback, because John the Baptist had to have been conceived at least 3 months before Jesus, because when Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, John the Baptist leaps in the womb to hear Mary's voice, knowing that Mary is the mother of the Son of God. So it's got to be a while ago. But it's tied up in all of this telling of Christmas because of how God is bringing this all together through John the Baptist and through Jesus, through Zechariah and Elizabeth, through Mary and Joseph. But it also, you realize, looking at this part of the story. I mean, they go on and John the Baptist is born, and when they ask Zechariah, what should we call him? He writes John, and then his mouth is opened again, and he sings praise to God. It goes on. But what I want you to notice today is his prayer. Well, actually, we don't have his prayer. All we have is the angel's report. So if you go on page 7 and we're going down to verse 13. We've already been introduced to the problem. Zechariah and Elizabeth are old and they have no child. Elizabeth is barren, so they have no child, which meant they had no heir. There was a certain shame for them in society because they had no child. It's just how the challenges of life worked in the culture. So we already know the situation. And then verse 13, the angel shows up to Zechariah and says, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard." We don't know what his prayer was. We didn't hear the prayer. But if you go on, it says, "And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son." Okay. So now what we're talking about is that, of course, Zechariah and Elizabeth probably for a long time were praying for a son. They might have given up at this point, figuring they were too old, but his prayer had been heard. And now Elizabeth will have a son. Wonderful. And then it goes on, "And you shall call his name John." Well, that's a little unusual. Normally it would be a family name like Zechariah. God, I was kind of thinking, you know, Junior. God says, "No, we're going to name him John." John means Yahweh, or the personal name of God. Yahweh has been gracious. Okay, that works. Yes, totally. Yahweh's been gracious. I mean, he gave me a son. I never thought we would have a son. Okay, good. So, God's answered the prayer. They're going to have a child. His name's John. And then it says, "And you will have joy and gladness." Well, of course, I'm going to have a baby, joy and gladness. And it says, "And many will rejoice at his birth." Well, of course, people are going to be happy for us that we now have a baby. This is all making sense. It's an answer to my prayer. And then verse 15, the angel kept going. God's message keeps going. "For he will be great before the Lord." Okay, he's in a priestly family. I get it, God. Yeah, he will serve you, right? "And he must not drink wine or strong drink." Okay, now this is getting a little unusual. Lord, we just asked for a baby, and now you're saying he's going to have some special dietary needs. "And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit." Okay, right, the Holy Spirit working in our lives, I get it. "Even from his mother's womb." Okay, why did you need to tell me that? Like, what's going on here? "And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God." Okay, hold on. You're saying more than just like a regular old priest now. I mean, this sounds kind of serious. "And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah." Elijah was the great prophet. What are you talking about, Lord? "To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children." and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready the Lord people prepared. Lord, I didn't ask for all this, you can imagine Zechariah saying. I didn't ask for all this. You could have stopped at the whole part about, like, people will be happy you have a kid, and you could have ended right there. He's getting more than he asked for. God is doing more here than Zechariah could have imagined. Jump down to Elizabeth's words, verse 25. Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me. Right? He's done something for me. He looked on me. He saw that I didn't have a child, and now I'm going to have a child to take away my reproach among people. Right, okay, so to take away my shame for not being able to have a child. But the reason I want you to see the readings today from Joel and Isaiah is that when Elizabeth says to take away my reproach, I don't even think she realized what she was saying. But she was saying something more. This was not just about her feeling shame for not having a child. Now we're talking bigger picture, reproach being taken away for all the people. Look on the cover of the bulletin. This is what I mean, where it says, and the angel said, do not be afraid, Zechariah. The Lord has heard your long commute, middle of the week, stressed out and anxious, stuck in the doldrums, stuck in winter weather traffic prayer. Of course, when I did that 2 weeks ago, I figured we'd have winter weather. But what I mean there is that when the angel shows up, the angel says, God heard your prayer. I have come with a message. We heard your just daily kind of grind prayer. It was just his normal prayer. Just a prayer that had been lodged in his heart for a long time, and walking on his commute to the temple, or just in the middle of the work week. Don't really know if he was stuck in winter weather traffic, but you get the idea. It was just this normal nagging prayer, Lord, why can't I have a child? When we hear about Zechariah and Elizabeth, sometimes we imagine they had already been before the Lord thinking, Lord, we know you're going to do great things in our midst and through us. But actually, when Gabriel shows up and he says, the Lord has heard your prayer, Zechariah and Elizabeth had just had run-of-the-mill prayers. Normal prayers like you and me. The things that were just challenging them and the things that they kept bringing before the Lord. They had not expected something great, except for maybe, you know, work this little miracle here that we would have a baby, right? But they didn't expect great, long-lasting, affecting salvation of the whole world, announcing that the Messiah is here. But their prayers were just middle of the work week, stressed out and anxious, stuck in the doldrums prayers. But God does more. And we are very thankful that he did more. We needed him to do more. He needed to send John the Baptist as the last prophet who would point to Jesus as Messiah. We needed him to do more. By God doing even more than Zechariah or Elizabeth asked, God was coming through with his plan, which was for all people, for all time, and for eternity. It wasn't just about blessing Zechariah and Elizabeth. There was so much more happening here, especially when you think about taking away the reproach. Look at Joel chapter 2, our opening psalm today. It's on page 4. Joel 2's got this vision of God calling the people together. And in verse 17, it's like the priests are standing with the people. They have not gone before the Lord yet. They're waiting. And the priests, they weep on behalf of the people, and they say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage, meaning your people, a reproach Don't make them a scorn among the nations. Don't make it so that they're just taunted by the other nations, a byword among the nations. Why should the other people say, "Where is your God?" In other words, they're coming before the God and they're feeling reproach. They are being rejected by the nations around them, and they are feeling the shame of their own sin. They're coming before the Lord and saying, "Take away this reproach." Verse 19. And the Lord answered and said to his people, "Behold, I am sending to you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied." That could be like Zechariah's prayer. Like maybe they were just praying, like, you know, we need some more foodstuffs, right? Take care of us today. And God says, "I will send you those things." And then he says, "And I will no more make you a reproach among the nations." Now the Lord is doing more. He is promising to remove the reproach, remove the shame, remove the way in which they're divided from one another and divided from God. It really parallels the confession and absolution. God has this plan. He's going to take away the reproach. Page 8, Isaiah 25. Same prayer, same promise. Take away the reproach. Go down to verse 8. He will swallow up death forever. The Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. That's a really interesting, swallow up death, take away your tears, and take away the reproach. Usually Hebrew poetry kind of works by expanding or getting stronger. And so notice that, yes, God is going to take away death. God will take away your grief, your tears. But the ultimate act of transformation is he's going to take away your reproach, your shame, your sinfulness, the thing that most divides you from God. He is going to take that away. It's the ultimate act of transformation, and it is, I think, behind those words of Elizabeth. When Elizabeth says, "You have taken away my reproach," yes, she probably only thought of it in terms of the shame of not being able to have a baby, but it's true grandeur, right? It is for all people. John the Baptist goes to point to the Messiah. The Messiah, Jesus, will die on the cross and rise again to take away our reproach, to take away our shame for our sinfulness. He will remove the disgrace from our lives for eternity. The disgrace of being helpless, powerless, and exploited. The shame of being stepped on and not being able to resist the powers of death. He will come to remove the humiliation, humiliated to the bottom of our lives, that we are ultimately inadequate. And now he will come to overcome all of that. This is the Lord, answering more than we could have imagined. More than Zechariah imagined, more than Elizabeth imagined, more than often we ask for. A lot of times we have prayers and we don't realize that there could be something far grander that God is doing here. And so that's why with the praise and thanksgiving day, I keep saying, what else could God have been doing? Where else has God been working? Think about it this way. Right? Zechariah and Elizabeth prayed for their immediate need, and that's good. You pray for your immediate needs, the things that you notice around you, yes? But do we ever pause and say, "God, you answered that prayer and 10 others I didn't pray"? Think about it this way. Dear God, please bring Aunt Edna home from the hospital. I don't have an Aunt Edna. Just, this is a, you know, hypothetical Aunt Edna. You know her? Please bring Aunt Edna home for the hospital. My immediate need is just, I want to see Aunt Edna be healthy and be able to be at home, right? Do I ever go back and praise God for the significance as it goes forward? And Edna gets home. She gets home and has the time and the energy to still make something for the church bake sale, which she always does, right? Aunt Edna, right? I mean, who can argue with her cookies, right? Hypothetical cookies. So she makes something for the church bake sale because she's out of the hospital. She brings it to church. The church bake sale supports the mission of the congregation. And it's a church bake sale that like the community knows about. So people come from the community to buy Aunt Edna's cookies. And while at the bake sale, there's Aunt Edna, she's got renewed energy. But also at the bake sale, there's this young lady from the neighborhood. And she strikes up conversation with another volunteer there. And this other volunteer from the congregation invites this young woman to church. God healed Aunt Edna, yeah. But then Aunt Edna went on to be a part of the bake sale, and the bake sale was part of meeting this young woman from the neighborhood who ended up coming to church and hearing God's word. God was doing more than just getting Aunt Edna home. God was doing more than giving Zechariah and Elizabeth a son. So what will you praise God for today? What will you pause to see? It's nice that Zechariah and Elizabeth can have a child. But did you hear what Zechariah and Elizabeth are saying? They now go on to say, this child is going to be a prophet to point to the Messiah. What are you going to praise God for today and see just the fullness of what he's been doing in your life? It's more than we often see. He answers one prayer, but answers 10 more that we didn't pray. Because his plan to bring all people into his salvation, to remove the reproach from all people through Jesus, that plan continues. And we praise God for that today. Praise him for answering your prayers. Praise him for giving you vision to see just how much he is doing in our midst. Amen.